There are some things that I may not know, and there are some places I just can't go. But there is one thing of which I'm sure, that my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And now some folks may doubt, and some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for my God is real, and I can feel Him in my heart. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Now I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, and oh yes, since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Thank you, Brother Block, and I'm here to tell you tonight that He is real. Absolutely, He's real. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, if you listen to the song, because if you're a believer, He's in you. I think we talked a little bit about that this morning. Tonight, I want you to, church, if you would, to kind of just look in the window tonight. I'm going to be speaking mainly to Brother and Mrs. Haynes tonight. And I want you kind of just in the background to listen, because what will be said tonight can be applicable to everyone here tonight. If you'll take your Bible, if you would, and find your place in Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4. It'll be familiar to you. Moses has just come from, or gone through the experience of the burning bush. He got to speak with God face to face, the Bible says, and God kind of laid out the plans, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, of what the job was that was going to be accomplished. And I want you, if you would, with me tonight to stand as we read the Word of God out of love and respect for the Word of God. We're just going to read the first three verses of Exodus chapter number 4. The Scripture says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Now, I want you to notice verse number 2. And the Lord said unto him. Now Moses responded to God, and now God responds to him. And here's what God says. He asked him a question. And that's the question, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, I want to ask you tonight. What is that in thine hand? And the scripture, and he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. I want you to go back to verse number 2 as our text verse tonight. Because Moses, before God, said, they're not going to believe me. You're sending me out there. They're not going to believe what I said. They're going to believe what the experiences I've had. They're not going to believe any of that. And God just simply asked him, what is that in thine hand? Now, Moses had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert as a shepherd. You know what he had in his hand? He had a rod. And God would use that rod in some miraculous ways. And may I say to you tonight, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, God wants to use you in a miraculous way. But I think his question to you both tonight, as it was to Moses, is, what is that in thine hand? Father, would you bless our time together tonight? Show your goodness now in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Brother, Mrs. Haynes, tonight begins a new phase in your life. Tonight begins a part of your lives together that you've never experienced before. Remember the days in Bible college when you were both excited and longing to graduate and to get out and go do something for God? If you've ever been in college, you know one of your greatest desires is to get, you want to get in, then you want to get out. Remember those days when you were excited about that and to go do something for God? What can I say to you? The time has come. The time has now come, and I'm sure it has moved quickly, and God's will for your life to go into ministry to the Navajo people now has arrived. There's been a short time now between you and God's ministry for you on the Navajo Reservation. May I say to you tonight, Brother Joel and Miss Fabiola, that there will be new challenges. There will be new trials. There will be new opportunity. You both now begin to shoulder some new responsibilities as you face God's will in the mission work. Your parents, your church, and your mentors in the Lord have invested in your lives to go and do as God has prepared you and do as God has commanded you. You see, God has provided for you during deputation. I always got the privilege and excited when Brother and Mrs. Haynes would stop by the office and just share with our office staff the blessings of God while they were on deputation, how God had provided. And I'm here to tell you, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, God did provide for you during deputation. God loved you through it all. People have invested time in your lives. Churches have invested finances in your ministry. But most of all, our church has invested a lot of prayer in your ministry as well, so that you can go forth and fulfill God's will. You see, the hour has now come. And it's now time to put to practice the truths and the principles that you've learned throughout these years in college and throughout personal experience and church work. You too, Brother Joel, like Moses, face a new day. You face a new challenge. And because you've been faithful to God, He's now separated you out for a great work. You see, just as God separated Moses out for a great work, listen, can you imagine having to lead approximately 2 million Jews out of captivity that didn't want to follow anybody, didn't want to do anything, and God used him, just an ordinary man, to do a great job. And for you to face the ministry as well ahead of you, you can face it with wonderful memories of what God has done for your life. But you listen to me, to face the ministry ahead without the favor and blessings of God is absolutely disastrous. You see, Moses was afraid, but he was excited about his call to deliver Israel, just like you may be a little fearful but excited as well. Moses felt inadequate to lead the people out of Egypt and to the promised land, just like you may feel inadequate to go to the Navajo Reservation and begin to start churches and build people for Christ. You see, Moses had a right to be afraid if he was doing it alone. But he was not going to Egypt alone. He was going under the influence and power of Almighty God. And may I say to you tonight, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, you likewise are not going to the res alone. You're going under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. God has called you. You are following that call tonight. You're not alone. You see, Moses knew his weaknesses, just like you know your weaknesses. He knew his weakness as a man, and he didn't want to disappoint the Lord. So to assure Moses that God had called him and ordained him for this purpose, God drew his attention, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, to something that was very, very familiar to him. A rod in his hand. A rod that he had used to herd sheep and goats. A rod that was familiar to him for many, many years of his life. He was familiar with that rod. I'm here to tell you both tonight that God wanted Moses to be and feel confident. So God used what Moses was skilled in. He didn't ask him to do something that he wasn't capable of doing. He didn't ask him to go and be and build some kind of project. He didn't ask him to go and build a business somewhere. He asked him to go lead the people of God out of captivity. He asked him to do something that he was skilled at. Listen, he didn't force Moses to use something that he was not familiar with, nor did he expect Moses to do something that he was not trained to do. For 40 years, he led sheep. So now, he was going to lead people. By the way, I think I read somewhere in the Bible that they were compared to sheep. You see, now he had been leading sheep and herding sheep for years. Now he was going to lead the sheep out of captivity and into the promised land. And may I say to you tonight, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, that your job under the power of Almighty God is to go to the Navajo Reservation and lead His people that are captive in sin and lead them free and lead them to the promised land. You see, Moses' response to God's call over in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 11, he said, "Who am I? Who am I?" And may I say to you, you've probably asked yourself that question, Lord, who am I to go and do such a great work? Who am I to go onto the reservation where Dad has a wonderful testimony? Who am I to go and start something for God on the reservation? He also asked the question in verse 13, Brother Haynes. He not only asked, who am I? He asked God, what shall I say? Not only who am I, but Lord, what am I to say to these people? What am I to tell them? And he simply gave him a simple answer. He just said, just tell them, I am that I am. It's a simple message, but it's truth. It's a simple truth, but somebody's got to take it. Moses was ordained of God and blessed of God. So Moses responded to God's call, who am I? What shall I say? When he was concerned also, Brother Haynes, with what the response of the people would be to the message. Because he asked God, he said, what if they ask me, what is his name? And then God told him, just tell him I am that I am. You see, not only was he concerned about who he was and what he was going to say, he was concerned, what is the response of the people going to be? What if they ask me, what is his name? And God's response to your obedience, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, is down in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 20 to 21, where he says, when you go, you shall not go empty. He says, just take the message. Just take the truth. I understand, God says, I know who you are. You're but dust of the ground. I understand that, listen, you don't live in perfect flesh. You don't live in a glorified body. He understands that. He understands there's going to be mistakes made. But he said, listen, if you'll just go, you will not go empty. You will have fruit that will remain. And with that said, I want to ask you tonight, what is that in thine hand? As God asked Moses. You see, it's not just a rod, Brother Haynes. No. It's more than that. May I say to you that what's in your hand tonight, may I say, number one, is opportunity. What you hold in your hand tonight is opportunity. An opportunity to do something for the glory of God. Because you're called of God to do this. Listen, if you do anything else, you'd be out of the will of God. You have an opportunity to do something great for the glory of God. You have an opportunity to win people to Jesus Christ. I'm looking back here at a bunch of folks here tonight that have been saved and reached because of the gospel of Jesus Christ here from the reservation. And may I say to you, there are hundreds and thousands of others there that are waiting. It's an open opportunity for you. I simply ask you, what is that, Brother Haynes, in thine hand? It's opportunity. It's opportunity to win people to Christ. May I say, not only is it an opportunity to win people to Christ, it's an opportunity to start churches for the glory of God. We've got to start more churches. We've got to reach our nation for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. The answer is not in the White House. The answer is not in the governor's mansion. The answer is starting more churches for the glory of God. And listen, we've got to have more young men and young women that are called into the ministry that will be willing to go and do something about the condition of our country. That's what we've got to have. You see, you have an opportunity to win people to Christ and to start churches for the glory of God. Now listen, our church wants to start more churches. We want to see young men called out for the gospel ministry so that we can support them and help them to get out there. Start more churches. Reach more people. That's the answer for America. And may I say to you, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, that's the answer for the res. Got to have more independent, fundamental, Baptist, Bible-believing churches that are not afraid to speak out against sin, preach the truth, teach people holiness and separation. It's Bible. Start churches. You have an opportunity. May I say also that not only do you have an opportunity to win people to Christ, to start churches for the glory of God, but you have the opportunity to let the whole Navajo reservation know that there's a God in heaven that loves them and cares for them and is willing to save them out of their mystic beliefs. Hey, you know what? Remember old Paul when he went to Athens and he saw all of these idols to all of these gods, and in case they missed one, they went ahead and built one to the unknown God. Can I say something to you? Just like Moses when he went to Egypt, he says, what shall I tell them? What if they ask me, what is his name? I'll tell you what his name is. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. That's his name. It's wonderful. It's precious. And that's what message you're taking to them. You have opportunity to let the whole res know that there's a God in heaven that loves them and cares for them. But may I say, you also have an opportunity to minister to people. You see, Brother Haynes, it doesn't matter whether it's on the reservation, in Arlington, Texas, or on the other side of the world. People have needs. And in your ministry, may I say also, Mrs. Haynes, that there will be ladies and young ladies that will look to you for ministry. They will look to you to help them and minister to them. I tell you something, it blessed my soul this morning. We had a family that visited this morning. They visited two Sundays in a row from Cairo, Egypt. They just moved into the area from Los Angeles, California. They've lived in the States for about 30 years. You know who knocked on their door? Teenagers. Had two sharp-looking teenagers come knock on their door and invite them to come to church. They've been 2 weeks in a row. He stopped me in the foyer, Brother Haynes, this morning, and he said, Pastor, grab my hand. And he was patting my hand like this. He said, Pastor, I need to learn the Bible. He said, can you teach me the Bible? I scratched my head. Brother Haynes waited about 0.2 seconds, and I said, you bet I'll teach you the Bible. I said, when and where? He said, doesn't matter to me. I just need to know God's Word. And may I say to you, there will be people there on the reservation that will approach you, Brother Haynes, and you, Mrs. Haynes, and they'll say, listen, preacher, listen, Mrs. Preacher, can you teach me the Bible? Can you teach me truth? Oh, what an opportunity. I just simply ask you, what is that in thine hand? It's opportunity. May I say to you, number two, when I ask you, what is it that in thine hand, you told us a while ago that you believe that you had in your hand the preserved, inspired words of Almighty God. I'm just asking you, what is that in your hand? I'm here to tell you that you have the Word of God in your hand. For us in the English language today in the King James Bible, may I say to you tonight, Brother Haynes, love it. Love it. Read it. Pray over it. Preach it. Teach it. This book is alive. Hey, listen to me, folks. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse number 63, He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Listen to me. And they are life. They're alive. This book's alive. You have the words of Almighty God in your hand. Would you hold your place there in Exodus 4 and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. You need to circle this, underline it, put an asterisk beside it. Verse 16 says, not some. My Bible don't contain some. The Scripture says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to me, Brother Haynes, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I simply ask you, what is that in thine hand? Look down, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Paul says to this young preacher, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because there's going to be a time, he says, for the time will come, Brother Haynes, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But you know what? If you've got a commission from God to be there, if you've got a call of God to be there, I simply ask, what is that in thine hand? Do you believe it's the Word of God? Yes. Do you believe it's the literal Word of God? Amen. Can I say to you tonight that you cannot separate God from His Word? You cannot separate them. Hey, the Scripture said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You have the words of God. When you stand to preach, you don't have to preach ashamedly. You preach because it's truth. You preach because it's the words of God. It's alive. It's alive. I just simply ask you, what is that in thine hand? Opportunity. You've got the words of Almighty God. But may I say to you, number three, Brother Haynes, what is that in thine hand? When you go to the res, you're not going alone. I want to say, number three, you got a family. You got a wife. You got a son. You see, when Joshua, in Joshua 24, in verse number 15, if you'll remember, he just simply said, as for me, wait a minute now, and my house. He didn't say just for me. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, you have a family, Brother Haynes. He said, it's me and my house. Involve your family in ministry. Don't overtax your wife. Don't expect her to have to be at every single thing, every single day of what you're doing. But can I say something to you? Involve her in soul winning. Go with her. Involve her in the ministry. Get her acquainted with the ladies of the church. Spend time with your family. You know, the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. I don't know what God's will is for your life, other than to say He's called you, He's sent you to the reservation, but He's given you a wife and a son that you're to care for as well. Let me remind you, Brother Haynes, that you had the ministry of the family before you had the ministry of missions. And God's going to hold you accountable for that family. Stay close. Get your family involved. Spend time with them. Have special date nights with your wife. Spend some time as your son gets older. And if God blesses you with more children, spend time with them on the individual basis. And listen to me. Teach your family how to love God and have a relationship with God. One of the biggest failures in the Christian home is we're not teaching our kids how to have a relationship with God. We're telling them, read the Bible, pray, do this, do that. We're telling them what to do and not showing them what to do. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I just simply ask you, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, what is that in thine hand? Opportunity. The words of Almighty God. Brother Haynes, you have in your hand family. And may I say finally, what is that in thine hand? When Moses walked up to Pharaoh, may I say that he had the words of Almighty God on his lips. And may I say that you have the message of eternal life. You have a message that you are to take to the Navajo people. Just like Moses had a message to Pharaoh. You say, what was that message? Let my people go. And you know, when you take the message of the gospel, and you get out there and you start preaching, always remember there will be opposition. There will be opposition, spiritual opposition, but there will also be fleshly opposition as well. You'll have opposition from Satan himself, and you'll have opposition from other people. They don't want you there doing what you're doing. Don't want you there telling people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But may I say, you have in your hand the message of eternal life. You have the message of how to be saved. You have the message that on your lips and in your hands right there. Not just the message of how to be saved, but who to be saved by. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That narrows it down, my brother. And let me tell you something. When you stand up and speak that, there will be opposition. You talk to anything, and you talk to people about anything and everything, but the moment you start mentioning Jesus, look out. Because there's something about that name. Something about it. When you start talking about Jesus, you're in a whole new ball game now. But I'm here to tell you, stick by the message of eternal life. That's what God's called you to be. And whether you ever have a convert or not, God called you to do this, and you do it with all your might. You have the message of eternal life. Not just how to be saved, who to be saved by. You have the message of once they're saved, oh, I love this, they're always saved. I love saying that. You say, why? Because I was raised in a way that with some people that told you you couldn't know that you were always saved. They taught you you had to work your way to heaven or do this or do that. You know, my big question was, if salvation is by works, how do I know when I've got there? How do I know when I've got it? Nobody can ever answer it. You see, you have the message of eternal life. Not just how to be saved, who to be saved by, that once they're saved forever. And nobody can take that salvation from them. It's theirs forever and eternity. And by the way, salvation begins the moment they receive it. Hey, eternal life doesn't begin when I see Jesus. It begins the moment I receive Him. That's where it begins. Salvation begins immediately. I'm just here to tell you, you have the message of eternal life. And I'll ask you one more time, Brother and Mrs. Haynes, as God asked Moses, yes, he was fearful. Yes, he didn't want to disappoint the Lord. But God says, you know what? I'm not going to ask you, Moses, to do something that you're not familiar with. He said, you see that pole you got in your hand? See that rod you got in your hand? You're familiar with that. You've been familiar with it for a long time. He said, what do you got in your hand? And he said, a rod, but that rod would be used by God in multiple ways in Moses' life. I just simply ask you, what do you have in your hand? What is that in thine hand? Opportunity. You've got the literal words of the living God. You have a family, and you have a message of eternal life. And may I say to you tonight, as your pastor, Brother Haynes, that I commission you with the authority of this church and under God Almighty to go and build churches, go and build people, go and win souls to Jesus Christ. Go and do it until Jesus comes or until you see Him face to face. And then when you see Him, the Bible says you'll be like Him, for you shall see Him as He is. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I've preached an ordination charge tonight, but I wonder how many tonight would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know it, no question about it. I've been born into the family of God. I know when it happened. I know if the eastern sky parted tonight, I know I'd be with Jesus." How many can say, "Preacher, that's me"? I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "No question about it. I've been born into the family of God." All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation now is yours. And I pray that you would have your will and your way in this invitation. Bless, I pray. Save those that need to be saved. Move in hearts for those that need to be moved. Please use Brother and Mrs. Haynes in a great way.